Join me, would you, in a little time of reflection about all that we've been reading, but particularly this story. You notice the prominent place that the temple plays in this story and the stories leading up to it. The temple, the place where humanity and God meet, where the stuff and the business and the questions and all the vicissitudes of life of God and humanity are met together. It is appropriate. It is appropriate and important. And we'll talk about that. Let's back up a little bit and talk about this story and see what the background is. We're told that Mary and Joseph go up to Jerusalem for Passover. It's Passover, big festival, one of the three festivals that the Jewish people were meant to come to the temple to celebrate, if they could at all, if they could afford it, if they lived within proximity. Mary and Joseph lived out of the 15 miles that was prescribed as a must for families to come. They made the journey. They were observant Jews. They made the journey every year. This year, the text seems to suggest, is Jesus' first time to come. He's 12 years old, which means he's in between that time of boyhood and preparing for his bar mitzvah, preparing to become a son of the law. That's what it means in Hebrew, bar mitzvah, a son of the law. And in preparation for that, Jewish fathers were tasked with bringing their sons to prepare them for the responsibility of taking up this following of the custom as he and his wife Mary had demonstrated within the home. So Jesus makes his way there. It's a long journey. It's an arduous journey. They're coming all the way from where? Do you remember? Nazareth. Up in Galilee. Probably about 5 or 6 day journey. Traveling as a caravan. Relatives all came together. They did that not only for company but also for protection against robbery. The women and the children would walk on in front, usually with some of the older males, but the men would follow behind. And at night, they would set up their camp and they would post watch around. But it took them time. Sometimes we don't think about these things. We just think they kind of got there. But while there, over the 8 days, they celebrate the festival, then it's time to leave. And they would arrange at a particular time to meet and then make that journey east through the east gate, Jerusalem, around the Mount of Olives, past Bethany, towards the Jordan, and make their way up the east side of the lake, the sea. Another 5 or 6 days. Because they traveled as a family unit, it is conceivable that they would have made their way, and at the first night when they set up camp and Mary is looking for little Yeshua, they can't find him. They look around. They ask around. Nobody has seen him. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Nobody has seen him. You can imagine the panic. Where is he? Where is Jesus? They decide, and they make a courageous choice, but one that you would assume certainly most parents would. They head back to Jerusalem, which means they have to travel a day by themselves because the caravan is going to go on without them. They are at risk, but they long to find their son. And they look around, so there's a day out, a day back, a day looking around. They find him on the third day in the temple courts. Where is Jesus? The story is filled with all kinds of questions, and I think invite us to ask ourselves questions as well. Why have you done this to us? That's mild. Somebody, give me your best parent to child reprimand. Let me hear it. I resisted doing it. I have my kids here. I don't want to be embarrassing anybody, but you give me your best. Why have you done this to us? Let me hear. Somebody, a parent. What's that? What were you thinking? Why have you done this to us? Are you crazy? We've been worried sick about you. Yes. You little, I don't want to put too many words in Mary's mouth, but You can imagine, indeed. Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been searching for you. And Jesus responds, why were you searching? Doesn't that puzzle you? That kids will say stuff like that. You know, don't worry. Why were you worried? You said you're supposed to be home at 12, coming at 4. Where have you been? I've been worried about you. Why are you worried? Kids say stuff like that. Why were you searching? Don't you know I have to be about my father's house? And the word used there is actually has double meaning. My father's house, be about my father's affairs, the work and life of my father. They come and they find him. Here's some interesting details I want us to reflect on and to ask ourselves some questions. They find him in the temple courts, and here's a very important word that we're told, sitting with the teachers of the law. Let me just stop for a moment here, because this is very significant. There are rabbis and others who would give a left or right arm to be able to be invited to sit with the teachers of the law. It was a privileged place, and it was, here he is among adult scholars, and you don't just go and sit with them. Sitting is the position of teaching. He would have had to have been invited to sit. There's something about his questioning, something about the way he spoke, something about how he inquired that amazed them, we're told, and he was invited to join them. They were amazed at his understanding, we're told, and his answers. So he was both asking questions, learning, and he was speaking and teaching in such a way that commanded their respect and their awe. That's where they found him. But let's ask ourselves, what is it that Jesus was talking about? So that we're not distracted by the drama of the parents who are concerned about him. And I am not minimizing that. I know what it feels like, even momentarily, one of our children misplaced in a shopping mall years and years ago. I know the panic that can come upon us. But there's something more significant here that is afoot. Remember, this festival they're celebrating is Passover. And what the rabbis and those teachers of the law would do would sit in the temple, and people could come and ask questions. The story that is being rehearsed here is the story of liberation, the story of the law. We're told that Mary and Joseph kept the law strictly. They established a custom. We're told they went up to Jerusalem as was their custom. They established a home life and a pattern of faith and encouragement that modeled to Jesus, this was serious. Learning the ways of God is... We adhere to them, we follow them, we teach them, we practice them, even at great expense. It's an expensive journey to travel from Nazareth to Jerusalem and put themselves up. Jesus has learned the lessons well, maybe too well, for their liking, in a sense, because he goes now and he asks to know more, and he speaks about his own reflection. What is the story of Passover? The story of Passover, he would have been reminded, is filled with all of the drama and the mess, as it were, of life and the tragedy of life, as well as the victory of God's deliverance. How does it begin? How is it that Moses emerges able to lead the people out? Moses' life begins in a threatening reality when the male Jewish children were being killed and he was saved. They were being slaughtered off by Pharaoh because he was concerned that they were getting too numerous. It starts in death and mayhem and slaughter. And Moses is saved and he rises up to be that deliverer. It is this God who delivers the people, has heard the cries of the oppressed. Jesus is in the temple rehearsing and asking questions and seeking to understand what would become his mission, what would become his call, as it were, for the redemption of the world, including the establishing of shalom and justice. What is it, the reading we heard from Isaiah that Michelle read? That this one who is promised is going to establish with justice and righteousness that lineage of David. You see, Christmas, and this story in particular, calls us to reflect what are, as Jesus was doing in the temple, what are the historical aspects of our faith and of our life together that are being met together, that are meeting together. I can think of one in particular at this time, or two. Jesus goes missing. In the United States, 2,300 people are reported missing every day. In Canada, much lower. It's about 180. Now, there are for a variety of reasons. Some of it is abduction by a parent ensconced in a huge battle with the ex-wife or ex-spouse. Sometimes people go missing, camping, or whatever, or other suspicious causes. We're thinking this week of issues of justice around this missing theme. The story that we are seeing played out in Idle No More in our steps and across our country in our Aboriginal brothers and sisters finds its genesis in historical taking away of children into residential schools. The Highway of Tears between Prince Albert and Prince Rupert that was not properly investigated for years and years, and even to this day finds little satisfaction. The missing women of Vancouver that led to Picton's arrest. There are causes upon causes that call us to ask about who is missing. How does that missing cohere with the stories that Jesus was reflecting on? What are the issues of justice of our own day and generation that we, in this makeshift temple, as it were, are meant to be reflecting on? You see, the place where we come to worship is a place where all of life is admitted. We heard the story that Marilyn read about Anna, who was in the temple. Anna is a widow. She had mourned her husband. This is a place where people are allowed to mourn passing spouses and other loved ones. This is a place where people are allowed to mourn those children who are missing from the Sandy Hook School this Christmas time in those homes. This is a place where people are allowed to mourn and to wrestle with those things that cause them pain. That's what temples are like. That's what places of worship are like. That's what customs. And so we ask ourselves, where is Jesus? Jesus is about God's affairs. He is about the things that matter to God. Don't you know that I must be about the affairs of my Father? Even at a young age, as he prepares to become a son of the law, he's taking the law seriously. The law is meant to guide us into relationship with God and the practice of the commandments of God in the world. The commandments of redemption and of justice and of healing and compassion and mercy and shalom. So we ask ourselves, Jesus isn't lost. Where are we? Where are we this Christmas season? Are we finding ourselves in this place of worship also connecting with that which we celebrate and lift up to God, the concerns not only of our own hearts and our own pain, but those of the world? It's been much in the news, and it is a ghastly thing, the violation of that Indian woman who has now died on that bus. And it has received huge worldwide attention, and there's a response, and I'm glad about that. But I'm also troubled by the fact that for many, many years now, many have been raising the concern of the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the violation of women and girls is an instrument of war, an instrument of torture. They go missing, they go violated. Little is said and little is being done, failing to deal with the economic interests that seem to be provoking this. This is the place, this place where we come to worship and celebrate the story of Christmas that we might want to protect with quaint scenes of manger and shepherds. What we're learning is that this place, this temple, is available to all of the concerns of the world to be brought before God, because they are the affairs of God. So where is Jesus? He's not gone missing. He's immersing himself in the life and the mission and the call of God from a very young age. He's taken seriously what it means to position himself to become a son of the law. He's claiming this Father as his Father. And is inviting those who would follow to claim such power, such authority, as it were, that we may be strengthened to grow as he did in grace and in favor with God and with others. How do we grow in favor with those who are oppressed? How do we grow in favor with those who are hungry? How do we grow in favor with those who are grieving and depressed and lonely? How do we do that? Except like Jesus, we come alongside them. We struggle for laws and policies and practices and caring that will respond to them. Where is Jesus? The question is, where are we? Are we beside Jesus? Are we with Jesus? Are we following Jesus into the affairs of God? Because this is part of the Christmas story. Love has come to take seriously the life of humanity. God has come to take flesh upon God's self so that the world would understand what redemption, what love, what forgiveness, what salvation, what justice and shalom looks like. You and I have been called and are being recruited into this life of mission so that the world's mending and the pain and the joy can cohere in our acts of worship and service. Not your pretty little Christmas message, is it? But remember the role the temple will play in this Christ whom we follow. It is not only where he was brought to be dedicated, where circumcision happened, where he was teaching and learning from the elders and the teachers of the law, where his parents were looking for him. It would also become the place that he agitates near the end of his life, because it is excluding people and it has turned its purpose upside down. It is that that will set in motion the plans to crucify him. The temple, and again, the festival was Passover. We have to take seriously the context of our celebrations. We're celebrating here in Ottawa. We're celebrating in this neighborhood. We're celebrating in the world. What are the issues in the life of Ottawa, this neighborhood, and the world that are meant to be met together here, that we steward with prayer and action and commitment, so that we too are about the affairs of God? Questions? Why have you treated us like this? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's affairs? Where do we find ourselves in the story? Maybe all we can manage right now is, like Mary, to gather these things up in our heart and ponder them and look for opportunities to respond. To respond in a way that God's grace will help us, so that we too, like Jesus, in the story, may grow in favor with God and others, in stature and in wisdom. May God's grace and love make it so. Amen.